From Puebla, it's Austin, Texas. This is Stacker News Live!
From this generation. Hello, this is Joby. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Stacker News Live. My name is Carl, the BFF Keon.
It's Anthony Bourdain.
How are y'all doing today?
We're good. We're great. We're feeling like Anthony Bourdain.
Anthony Bourdain, RIP.
Oh, is it today?
No,
I don't think so. Mm. I found a picture of him. I think it was Mononaut shared a picture of him, and I was like, oh, this is cool. This is a good vibe.
I really loved Anthony. Yeah, I really loved him. He's one of my favorites.
I wonder why he killed himself.
I don't think he did.
Really?
Was it around that time with the whole like Epstein thing, and they were blaming it on like CNN or something? Could be fake news, but I don't remember. I feel like it was like right around that time.
It did seem like it was around like other, you know, political
conspiracy stuff,
but I think he's also the kind of dude who might just kill himself.
Yeah, he did talk a lot about like,
yeah,
he was very into like drugs and alcohol.
I think he used to be a heroin addict. As
he was like pretty committed to like, you know, living full but living fast.
Yeah. Yeah. But he had just gotten into jujitsu, and he became like ripped.
Did you ever see his documentary or his like life documentary? It was good. It was called Roadrunner or something.
I didn't see it.
I don't think I have seen it. Was it after he died that they made it?
Yeah, I saw it at Violet. It was a good documentary.
It makes me sad to think about people like that. Like you reach the peak of cool and you still kill. You're still dead. Like, you don't live forever.
He was so inspirational, too. That's what I loved about him. He was just so interesting just to hear talk.
I feel that way about David Foster Wallace.
Interesting.
I don't feel like he's as cool, is he?
He was cool because nobody even knew him. That's how cool he was.
He was interviewed on Charlie Rose. I remember that's the first time I encountered
him. Who's Charlie Rose?
He's the old guy on PBS who interviews.
He was like Jordan Peterson before Jordan Peterson.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
David Foster Wallace?
Yeah.
Oh.
Did you not read Infinite Jest?
I don't think it was Jordan Peterson.
I didn't read Infinite Jest.
No?
No,
I'm not saying like he's Jordan Peterson. Okay. I'm saying like he was a professor that got insanely popular, just like Jordan Peterson. That's what I meant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. But he was a writing professor.
Yeah, he wrote Infinite Jest.
According to Keon,
I didn't read it because I listened to an audiobook. So
you listened to it.
That's how you'd say. Dude, how long did it take you to listen to it?
I'm still on it.
Yeah, because it took me 3 months to read it.
You like started before he killed himself?
I use it to go to sleep sometimes.
How do do you listen to the footnotes as well? Or?
No, it's right here. Look.
Because the footnotes.
Yeah, I have like 60 hours left.
Oh, he's probably skipping the footnotes, huh?
Probably.
Yeah, I'm here like chapter, no, autumn year of dairy products from the American heartland. I'm there. I'm like 60 minutes in. No, 45 minutes.
Okay,
in.
But there was a good movie made about the life of David Foster Wallace. Short, not his whole life, asleep, but like a week of his life.
Sick in bed upstairs.
And it's called.
In acetate pajamas.
It's called.
You don't need to know what it's called. People have phones and stuff. They can look it up.
Okay, if you have a phone, look it up, and it's really good.
Is it his parent? Were his parents writers? That's my memory from my Charlie Rose interview.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Are we all reading together right now, Carr?
No, I mean, I was just playing it for the Stackers listening at home. Anyways, if you've never seen this crazy show before, it's called Stacker News Live. We cover the top five stories on stacker.news, front page of Bitcoin. And you do this, if you're listening to this as an audio podcast, this is actually a live show that happens every week on Friday at 4 p.m. here in Times Square. Or, I mean, not Times Square, here on Congress.
And, Cowboy Square.
6th Street. Cowboy Square. And you can see a Pete Terry's who gets free advertising every week. Anyways. Check it out on Fountain. Boost Zap there. Check it out on Pull It Up Jamie. I think we're here somewhere. Oh, there we go. Boom. So if you ever want to say, is Car staying in his lane? You can just type in Car.
Oh, can we get, do we get live?
Are you
can we do-
staying in your lane?
Oh, boy. What's
going
happen?
Let's see what happens. He's going to search through. He goes, oh, right here. There he goes.
There you go. Sound bites.
Sound bites are here.
I've been operating this way since.
You can see all the times I've been staying in my lane.
It's like you're going down
a motorcycle every once in a while.
Right here, talking about this.
What are you doing with your life?
Subaru.
Talking about staying in my lane.
Can we do live, like I can collect receipts during the podcast? I'm like, earlier in the podcast you said
pull it up, Jamie is the receipt taker. That would be really good.
I'm sure you can.
Yeah.
Anyways, you can type in there. You can even type in, look, if I wanted to go back and type in, is Coob staying in his lane? Find that out, too. We'll find out.
I'm a flying car.
Oh, look. Dead in a theory. He wasn't staying in his lane.
Yeah. The other thing I want to bring up is...
See? There you go.
Well, I wonder why it picked that.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a good example.
It's totally true. Okay. Also, you can check us out on YouTube. We're on there. And hit subscribe.
Hey, the bell. That's my face.
Hey, there's Jenna. Oh, Docs. There's Austin. Anyways.
Half Jenna, half Austin.
Click on all that stuff. All right, with that, we're going to jump into... Oh, one last thing. We're doing we're throwing a party here next week. Super secret party. No one knows about it, but it's happening on March 14th at 3:30. BYOB. Go downstairs. There will be somebody waiting for you. Just come up here. Say you're going to a super secret party inside a Plub Lab for Stacker News Live. Keep
it
quiet.
I didn't even see this. I didn't know this was happening.
Yeah, I'm trying to do it low-key so no one finds out.
Yeah, even me.
Yeah. No one watches the show with the Stacker. So if you're a Stacker, going to be in Austin next week for South By, come through. Vibes will be high.
Let's go.
There'll be drinks, beer, and snacks. And I heard Keon's buying pizza.
I'm not buying pizza. So someone lied to you. You might want to find out who that is.
Okay, cool. With that, we're going to jump into the top five stories. The number five top story is Donald Trump signs executive order for a strategic Bitcoin reserve. This is from Siggy47, 21 hours ago. Bitcoin territory, 34 comments, 1,100 sats. Keon, who is Donald Trump?
He is the 54th president of the United States. Oh. Is that the right number? Did I get it? 57th president of the United States. 47th. All right. This is a different timeline.
Wait, so he's number 47?
Number 47, apparently. Clearly, you don't own any Trump trading cards. Anyway, there's been a lot of talk of this SBR thing, and a bunch of states are doing SBRs, but the federal level, they've been talking about SBRs, and then there's been a bunch of news in Bitcoin circles before and after, and Senator Loomis is a big champion of, I think, a bill that's going through Congress, but it looks like today we're signing. Trump just signed an executive order, which I still don't really know what the consequences of these things are in reality. But I guess any departments he
oversees.
Is that
oversees, really him right there? Is that looks like AI?
That's really him, dude.
Wow, that doesn't look like him. He's so short.
Well, you know, does he really look like a person?
I think it's just a really...
Maybe it's the camera angle, maybe.
It's just a really big desk, I think.
And a tall window.
It is a big desk.
Yeah, it's like a bigger room. Oh, interesting. It's like made for the president.
I wonder who those pictures are in the background. Looks like he's like...
That's the presidential throne right there.
One of them looks like an Epstein and a Ghislaine picture.
Look at his... Did you see his, like, different calligraphy box set right there?
That's tight.
That's pretty cool.
No, I think they... What I think they do is they give away the pen to, like, an important person. Oh, after he signs it.
He's probably not doing calligraphy, huh?
No, I don't think so.
That's cool.
Anyway, he's signed an SBR thing at the executive level, which more or less states that any Bitcoin the government has seized as part of criminal proceedings, they should keep and not sell. That the Treasury should look into acquiring more Bitcoin so long as it doesn't cost the taxpayers any money, which is... suspect. I don't know how you buy Bitcoin without paying for it. And then they also talks about a shitcoin stockpile, a similar kind of thing, except they talk about selling shitcoins, though, unlike Bitcoin. They advise, the executive order says not to sell Bitcoin. That's like the main difference between the two. And I think there's also some language in there about, you know, explaining how Bitcoin is different. And I think today... they're having like a
round table.
Yes, a round table of 12 people. What, one or two of them are Bitcoiners, and then the rest, I think, are other crypto people. Mm. But they're going to decide on. They're like, it's like a crypto czar meeting or something.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the details of the order. Yeah, it says things like fixed supply of 21 million coins. I don't, you know, someone wrote this for them, as they, I'm not sure he understands these things himself too well, but.
Yeah.
Bullish, bearish.
You got anything, pleb poet?
I just kind of am like, let's see how it plays out. Like, I don't know what it means, like you said, like, in practice, which I guess that's not really for us to know anyway, but. Because if it is like a defensive thing, then that's not going to be broadcast.
So I think there's, I mean, we'll jump into the next thing, but let's just read the top comments. So top comment was from Bitcoin is the Future, says, oh, it's Bitcoin all the way in the long run, exclamation point. Then he starts highlighting the different aspects of this memo.
Yeah, and, the bullish things.
Basically
about
the stuff that Coob just said.
Yeah.
And then everybody jumps in saying, or this is from Fabs. He says, in other words, they might hold on to stolen Bitcoin and shitcoins and might or might not sell some, but they'll definitely not buy some. Correct. WTF. And then Bitcoin is Future says, read it. They can't sell any Bitcoin and have ways to buy more. This is how executive orders work. Gaming guidelines. Fab says, is Bitcoin excluded from the fourth red box? Bitcoin is Future says, yes, there are two things established, a Bitcoin reserve and a separate U.S. digital stockpile, a.k.a. shitcoins. They can't sell anything in the Bitcoin reserve but can add to it. There you go.
Good job reading, Carr.
And Fab says, my bad. Look, see, the stackers figured this out just on their own.
Yeah.
Kepford said price is likely tanking because he didn't say Bitcoin would be bought. LOL, good news, cheaper sats. There you go. And then you wanted to bring up Justin. So Justin Shocknet had a post, and he said, exquisite post from BitPain on the SBR reaction.
I just wanted to, this is one of my top stories. This wasn't in the top five, but this was just posted today by Justin Shocknet, who in BitPain was responding to this news, and all the Bitcoiners who were responding to this news. And I thought it was interesting because I was like, hey, he's talking about me. Because he basically says that the people who are like against the strategic Bitcoin reserve are perpetually cucked Bitcoiners. Who, you know, don't appreciate Bitcoin winning because they are outcasts and losers. And they think of themselves as outcasts and losers, and so they don't want to win. And our, like, personalities are about being outcasts. Anyways, I thought that was pretty close to how I feel. Is like
an outcast?
I'm also not sure that I wouldn't frame this as winning. It's certainly showing that Bitcoin is succeeding in some way. I think it was news that a president would talk about Bitcoin a while ago.
Yeah.
Or any politician at all. And now he's like advocating for it. So it's clearly winning in some way. But I don't know if I'm just perpetually cucked or you know, this isn't actually that great.
We got Stacktoshi said, F this, how is this a giant leap? Would an SBR be wonderful if the government just 6102'd Microsoft and IBIT? We're not for wanting the world's most powerful and most indebted government to stop its chicanery and allow plebs more time to take back their financial freedom. And then Justin says, SBR doesn't change their ability to 6102. And why would the NSA invent Bitcoin just to 6102? Everyone has had 15 years to wake up.
Wow.
Monetization of the next world reserve currency won't wait for angsty.
I did not read through that. I'm not advocating for the comment section. Then, I did not read it.
Stacktoshi said, really trying to make sense of your first two statements. I never claimed otherwise in the NSA? Even if that crackpot theory turned out to be true, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing in government. Actually, if it was the NSA, 6102 would make perfect sense to secure national wealth. Whose money did they use? Do you use to establish SBR? Was it moral? Then Justin Shocknet goes, the crackpot theory is the fairy tale that some lone wolf did it and stayed anonymous, when at a minimum the NSA has had a slight signet necessary to know who it is and how to get their coins. Wow, it looks like he goes pretty deep on this theory. Where did this theory come from? I've never heard the NSA invented Bitcoin before.
I don't know. I can't listen to people read. I can only read. I can't listen.
Well, he's basically saying the NSA invented Bitcoin.
I don't think that. I think someone said something like that.
When did that come into? Is that a thing?
People just have ideas. I don't know. I never heard it either.
Yeah, like I think still stacking after all these years is common. Bitcoin hipsters are just like other hipsters. Yes.
So is he calling? Who's he calling the hipster?
The people who are against the SBR. It's like not cool to like want power to be on your team.
Oh, okay. So he's saying it's like hipster to be against the SBR.
Yeah, that's what I say.
Okay. Interesting. Put, what do you got?
I am a hipster, so can't say much.
So you're against the SBR? Sounds like.
But I like this line of thinking because it's like, yeah, I think part of many Bitcoiners' identity is being the misfit outcast, like, you know, operating in the gray market type of, that's like the identity. And so this kind of challenges that identity. And, you know, I think there are reasons to be against the SBR stuff, but, you know, this identity part is maybe not a good reason.
I don't know if I would read into it that way because it feels like just like calling someone a name for not agreeing with you.
Mm, yeah, I can see that too. Yeah.
What's up?
Topher?
Hello, we got a
whoa
person walked on the set here.
Topher. Did you want to talk about the strategic reserve?
What do you got?
Is that a tether shirt?
It sounds like
what is there to really talk about?
Oh, there you go.
It's just the same old thing.
So what do you think about the strategic reserve?
I don't know much about it. I heard that wherever they got their Bitcoin from, those people aren't getting it back, I guess.
Yeah, I thought they were supposed to get it back, right? I think one of them was a Bitfinex hack. I think the other one was, wasn't it the...
that's him signing it.
Silk right Road.
That's
hack.
Our president, the 47th one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the government didn't mine it.
Yeah, they didn't buy it.
So I guess it's theirs now.
I like that flag apparently back there. Do you think they'll let me keep the flag if I go to the White House? Like if I just go and take it? You think they'll stop me?
I don't think you'll ever get let in the White House.
Dude, really? I'm Carr. Of course they'll let me through the White House.
I don't know, bro.
Damn, I don't think that matters.
Do you have
neck
tats?
I think that actually does help me. I think it actually does help me.
I thought that was
I mean, if they could let Kanye in there and they could let Kim Kardashian, why can't they let me?
Because you're not Kim Kardashian or Kanye.
You wouldn't want to go to the White House?
Nah.
At all? Like to visit?
I mean,
it's a historic place.
I guess so.
I would want to see the inside of it.
I would want to look at some of the furniture and the art.
I could separate the politics from the institution. I want to see what
that
looks
like. It's just like, do I want to go spend a day being a tourist in Washington, D.C.?
No, but I want to check out the White House, the Oval Office.
I've seen it from the outside in person before.
Was it a...
they had like gates.
I guess I'm the only one.
I was like,
would you
want
to go
old
to the White House to visit the Oval Office?
Last time I went there, I got put on
a
list.
So. Oh, damn. I might be the only one in Bitcoin that wants to visit the Oval Office.
Well, nobody gets to visit the Oval Office, I don't think. You
sure
just get
you
to
can
go
you
in
get
the
on
hallways
a list, right? And they'll let you. Like, there's a tour, right?
Yeah, but I don't. That doesn't include the Oval Office because he actually does work in there.
They might have like a fake one.
Can you just get out so I can check it out? Oh, do they really?
Oh, oh right. Wow. That would make a lot of sense.
I don't know. There's just so much history in that Oval Office. So. You have Nixon doing the whole Watergate stuff. You have Trump doing his stuff. You have Barack Obama.
You wouldn't get to see that happening.
But no, there's history there. And then, you know, Bill Clinton, you know.
What did he do?
You go in there with a black light? What are you going to do?
So that's what I'm saying. There's so much history there. You just want to be in the room.
And what did Obama do in there?
What didn't he do?
That's an amazing answer. I like it.
Anyways.
oh, man.
Where do you land on this, Keon? Are you...
Well, we talked about it quite a bit already.
Oh, okay, sorry.
But I'm curious where, like, the main clause that I find interesting is where he instructs the Treasury to acquire more Bitcoin, but says that it can't cost the taxpayers anything.
Is that here?
Yeah, it's in there, which would mean... either means they plan on seizing more Bitcoin, or they plan on seizing money or other assets that they can buy Bitcoin with. Hmm. And, you know, because those people are criminals, I guess you could technically not classify them as taxpayers. And that, you know, I don't know how much of this is like concept either and how much of this is like law and the words matter. But In general, I think I'd prefer the government to stay out of Bitcoin, but I think it's inevitable if Bitcoin is going to succeed that the government tries to get in it. So I'm also not, I'm also trying to not be surprised.
Yeah. The other thing I would say is be careful what you ask for, because this is what people have been asking for, and just be careful what you ask for sometimes, because you're going to get it. And we'll see what that is.
Yep.
Anyways, we're going to number four. The number four top story this week is exquisite posts from BitPain.
Oh, we just covered this one.
Oh, sorry. See how autopilot I am?
Yep.
Number four post is organizer.
We're not doing AMAs. We don't do AMAs in top five.
Well, then, is this the number four post?
There you go.
The number four post is the Archipelago. Elvis Mercury, March 5th, Econ Territory, 25 comments, 2,299 sats. Keon, what is Elvis talking about this week?
Yeah, Elvis shared this this post. It's about, it's, I mean, if you read the comment section, has a great discussion on it, but it's about libertarianism and how it kind of creates, to be honest, a bit of a straw man of libertarianism, but it's a useful straw man, I think, to get to an interesting question. But it follows the, like, the genesis of a libertarian and the genesis of libertarian thought all the way to the conclusion of digital gold, you know, Bitcoin, basically, and argues that, like, the foundation that many people believe in Bitcoin is based on this libertarian ideology, which is, like, you know, pretty well seeped into all economic thought, and that it's that, if you know, I think he's trying to pull apart that foundation a bit and argue that Bitcoin does not stand on that libertarian foundation. And I think it's probably against Bitcoin more generally. I guess at the beginning of it is the idea that we all think of ourselves as kind of separate entities. And that we're not interdependent. And the metaphor he uses repeatedly is like the idea of, like, human beings think of themselves they think of themselves as an island, when they're more like a cell in the body, and we're all like part of some whole. And he basically argues that thinking of ourselves as islands is wrong and flawed, but if you build up economics on top of that, you come to a conclusion of, you know, Bitcoin is a great money. While it's a straw man, and I think it is really uncharitable, I think, to thoughtful libertarians, I do think it asks, it's attempting to answer interesting questions. And so I would encourage anyone who's reading it not to think so much about the libertarian part, although that's kind of what the whole thing is based on, but more so the question of why we think Bitcoin is good money, and not just fall back on things that he describes as, like, kind of the libertarian canon, this kind of unit of account, medium of exchange stuff, which, you know, while I'm not dismissing those as true, but, like, what if you can't take those as being true? What if his characterization of libertarians is correct, and that their whole model of the world is kind of flawed and baked full of bad assumptions? Is Bitcoin still valuable? And I just find that interesting. Even though I would disagree with the characterization of libertarians and some other stuff. Anyway, I recommend. I like reading things that I'm sort of viscerally, I like feel insulted by, and I feel challenged by, because I feel like it helps me understand the weaknesses in my point of view. And I thought this was a great example of that. He calls the island theory of self, the detachment theory. He writes a lot about these kinds of things, money. He's also a huge proponent of cash, like physical cash. So he's not an ally. And so, you know, read it with those things in mind, I guess.
You got anything on this, Tover?
I haven't had a chance to read this, but it looks like he put his heart and soul into it, like the illustrations. I haven't read the article.
Yeah, I think it's quite a lengthy article, but we have two economists who both Simple Stacker and Undisciplined are in the comments discussing it with Elvis Mercury, and you could kind of I think Undisciplined describes themselves as a libertarian, and Simple Stacker describes themselves as a lowercase L libertarian, and so they are, I think, describing where they think the post is unfair to libertarians, and then what they think of the questions the author is asking too. So I'd encourage people to read the comments if they're looking for like a rebuttal of sorts.
Flipo, you got anything?
That looks like Peter Pan.
That is Peter Pan. It's Peter Pan is his metaphor for believing that money is a belief.
Okay.
That we believe something is money because we believe it's money.
Okay.
Mm. Like kind of like how Peter believes he can. If Peter believes he can fly, he can.
Yeah.
Yep. Sounds like a Bitcoiner to me. Let's read the top comments. Top comments from, let's see here. Undisciplined said, I can't tell if he's arguing fundamental points or knocking down beliefs of naive libertarians. It's definitely not a steel man, but it doesn't have to be. Maybe just raising issues with extent lines of thinking. There's no particular reason. True capitalism can't be unrealized ideal. Can't be an unrealized ideal. The argument would then be that if it is impossible to reach for various reasons, and we could argue about the validity of those reasons. I only had time to skim the opening, so I can't really evaluate what he's trying to do yet. So Pisacker says, I skimmed the first few paragraphs. I think he's attacking a straw man. Whether he realizes that is another question. I just didn't detect any semblance of characterization in there that resembles my own thought. He talks as if libertarianism believes that every individual can be self-sufficient and that trade only arises optionally out of that state of self-existence. I'm not sure that's what libertarians believe. I'm pretty sure most would agree that trade between individuals is necessary for survival and for civilization. So starting points matter. Well, the starting point of this article matters too.
Well, I think one of the cool things is the author lays out the starting points of their argument so that you can attack them. Most people would write an essay like this and just describe their conclusion. I think this is a pretty fair way to write an article so that you can say, well, your conclusion is invalid because it's premised on a bunch of invalid ideas.
He only has like two articles, it looks like.
No, there's a lot. I think there should be a lot more.
He has two posts, I think.
No, if you go to his main site.
Brett Scott?
I don't know if you do what's URL activity. Hacking, you're on his like Substack. Yeah, if you go to
Okay, there it goes. Yeah. Looks like that's it.
Okay, do you think that it's hard for anyone to pin down exactly what libertarians believe? Cuz that's kind of like a libertarian ideal is like independence. So like is there a collective libertarian?
Yeah, I would think there are commonalities between most libertarians. I don't know if you could. I don't think you could.
Topher looked at me right at the same time. He said libertarian because he knows the same thing I know. Or maybe he's laughing at something else, but most libertarians are shitcoiners. So that's, I mean, I don't mean to piss anybody off, but I'm just.
Oh, what would you classify yourself as?
I don't know.
Politically car? I see.
Yeah, I feel that same way though. Like I wouldn't necessarily classify myself as libertarian.
Myself either. I don't think I would know what to classify myself as.
But I would say that I have some libertarian
tendencies,
beliefs, I guess.
I think
you got anything.
I feel like the label libertarian is sort of like the label agnostic. Yeah. It's just so broad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That if you try to define it, then you just get kicked out of the libertarian.
That's how I feel
group.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Bitcoin is actually like a great example of libertarianism. Just if by going online and seeing how much we yell and disagree at each other and hate each other.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's so many different types of Bitcoiners. So I think,
yeah, true. Good stuff.
Okay, yeah, you're laughing about something else. That's good. Anyways, but yeah, I don't really have any.
Exactly.
I like the irony of libertarians trying to define libertarianism.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Fun. You're always in for a good time.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like I always hear that line of like mischaracterization of what libertarians believe, and this is actually what libertarians believe. It's like you're never gonna get a libertarian to accept the way you characterize them.
Yeah, I think. I think of a true libertarian is probably like Ross. That's who I think is like the Jesus of libertarians in my mind. So I'm not that. So I don't know how. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to become that. But that's who I think of like as a true libertarian in my mind.
He's like an example of a great achievement. Probably one of the greater achievements of the Libertarian Party.
Yeah,
is that they got so focused and united on just this one thing, Free Ross.
Right.
And they literally made it happen. So, yeah.
All right. Ken, you got anything else?
I would say that I think optimism in here had a decent, I think there are things you could say of libertarians that all people would agree on, things like a right to property and non-aggression. Yeah. I think if you're not in favor of those things, I think you probably are not a libertarian.
Yeah.
And so I think there are a few of those things that you could pick out. The author tries to describe the foundations of like what leads someone to those beliefs. And I think that's where, think that's where what you guys are saying are exactly right, where what leads someone to those conclusions can vary a lot.
Yeah, whenever I think of something like that, it kind of reminds you of like what Thiel says a lot, where I guess he would classify himself as a libertarian, but is he really? It's kind of one of those where, like, for me, kind of just what Topher just said right now with the whole thing. And so when I see in my head, I see like true libertarian would be like Ross. And other than that, I don't know. It's a hard thing to like fit into, I think.
Ross might not even be an ideologue, like a libertarian. Not even,
yeah,
so. He might be. I mean, for all we know, he's like a progressive.
For all we know,
probably not. But there are people who are Democrats who believe in, the ability to buy drugs and other goods from other human beings, so long as you're not harming other people. But libertarian is more, I think, of this non-aggression thing, and that and this property thing are kind of the big,
cool,
big points.
Good post. Way to go, Elvis Mercury. The number three top story is: we are self-domesticated apes. We are our own greatest invention. This is from KK.org. Is this from you?
Wait, no, it's someone who shares my initials, though.
Kim Kardashian. Is this her?
It might be.
Is this Kim's?
No.
I think it's Kim.
I just share I share initials with many great people.
Right.
Kim Kardashian included. This is Kevin Kelly.
Oh, Kevin Kelly. I know who Kevin Kelly is.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful book.
He writes a lot, and I think probably most famous for being the editor of Wired magazine, but also writes really eye-widening, I think, books that are like science, technology, media focused. This post in particular he shared recently, and it describes the genetic changes that happen to species as we domesticate them, and that when we domesticate anything, say foxes are an example here, anything that we domesticate begins to have the same characteristics. It begins to look more like the young version of that domesticated mm-hmm. animal. It becomes more gentle. Its eyes get bigger. Its jaw gets weaker.
It's the human touch.
It becomes more compassionate. More social. Mm. And that there are genetic markers for these things. Like you can see these things, and they're, I think, forget exact, I think they're called neologism. I'm not exactly sure what the language is, but the set of genes has a name, and you can actually see this set of genes in humans. And he comes to this awesome conclusion that humans domesticated themselves, that what we do to animals, we also have done to ourselves. And he says you can look at like Neanderthal genes, and the presence of these genes are not in Neanderthals, but then and others of our ancestors. But then over time we evolve these domesticated genes. And then the kind of tagline is, we domesticated ourselves, or we were selecting among each other when we went to mate for mm-hmm. these qualities in each other, and sort of like how we select among populations of animals to domesticate them. We did it to ourselves. And I thought that just was like pretty awesome.
Mm. Cool. We got a top comment from South Korea. He says, interesting read. Invention suggests some kind of intentional or deliberate process. I prefer to think that language incorporation emerged from evolutionary pressure.
I don't know.
Fairness, reciprocity seems to exist in many others. Beings, too, of course, depends on where you put us, humans versus primates. Reciprocity, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
You got anything, Plutpoet?
I did. What was it? That kind of makes me think that like domestic isn't quite the best word for what's going on.
Well, I don't know what word would you use? Which word is better?
I don't know. You'd probably have to have a new word, but it makes me like, yeah, it's like, what is it then? I don't know. I'm considering it now in a way that I haven't.
Well, if I think he's defining domestication as the, I think the removal of some genes and the introduction of these other genes that are related to domestication.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that's the definition of domestication and that appears to have happened in human evolution too, then that would be a valid use of the word domestication, but
no, I think it's valid to use it. Yeah.
I just don't know what other words to use, I guess, other than that. I think maybe you're trying to make
it's
a point.
Like the process of like becoming better, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, but better in the ways that all the species that we domesticate become better.
Right, not just us.
Yeah, better as defined by, to South Korea Ellen's point, better as defined by fitness, survival.
Yep. It is interesting.
Yeah, I think Topher.
Because I read the Stacker News post, but I didn't read the linked article. So is he claiming that we domesticated ourselves or that we just went through a similar process?
We went through a similar process, and he's describing it in the, I think, the attention-grabbing fashion that we domesticated ourselves. He's not saying that we fenced in a bunch of humans and selectively bred them. He's saying that among ourselves, we kind of, like, chose to, like, to breed with people who are cooperative, breed with people who look like the younger people in our species, the people who are kinder, the people who are cooperative, the people who are social. Like we were selecting that among each other, and that's why we have arrived at a place where that is like kind of our state is not the aggressive Neanderthal state.
But was, I guess there's two separate ideas here. There's the one that if you look at humans throughout evolution, that we, our evolution displays similar characteristics of domestication that we see in other animals. So that's one idea. And then the other idea is that we domesticated ourselves, whether that was like naturally or we went through this process.
I think it's natural. He would say it's
that, that it's natural.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know about that one.
The bigger question. This is the question I have for you guys because you're technologists. Are we getting domesticated now by computers and by technology? Is that domesticating us? And what are the ramifications of that?
I would say it's de-domesticating us, if anything. I would say it's because we are, we're not going through the selection process.
Yeah, overlords are domesticating us.
No, I would say, well, maybe for them. That, like, what is, you know, what is domestication to a computer or an AI? It might be different than what is domestication to a human being. And so I would say we're de-domesticating because we're not going through this process of selecting among each other
kind
anymore.
Of like a block, like a computer, too.
You remember
did they select that?
No, I was giving an example, like the Kevin Kelly example.
With the skulls. Yeah. Oh.
Are you saying your skull, you have a Neanderthal skull?
I'm saying we're turning into blockheads.
I think I have like 3% Neanderthal DNA.
Nice.
Just for people to to know. I don't know them for no reason.
Okay, but don't you think that computers have made cultural cooperation?
Downstream.
Event?
We had a story about that the other week.
I think they have, but I think the traits you would select for through a computer are different than the traits you would select for in a natural human group. So that's mostly what I'm trying to say is that I think.
So maybe it's the algorithms that are domesticated. Lecture, mind
over mind. Okay, Alan Watts, Mind Over Mind, was recommended by Jim. I don't know if he's putting in Pull That Up, Jamie. He's going to try to find it.
Well, because the point of his talk, I mean, it's like he drones on for like an hour. He's very articulate.
Yeah.
But the premise of it is essentially you can't, who's going to watch the watchman when you're deciding what to select for? It's like there's no way to really do that. It's,
yeah.
Same thing with like AI alignment.
Yeah.
Remember that conversation that we had about ironic distance?
Oh yeah, this is it, right? Yeah, Watts. Read that out right there, Topher. Watts encourages readers to shift. Can you read that?
Where is it? The book delves into the concept of metaprogramming. That part or that part there?
That part there.
Watts encourages readers to shift their perspective and embrace a more holistic and interconnected view of existence, transcending the limitations of dualistic thinking. Sounds pretty hippie, if you ask me.
Yeah, sounds pretty new agey. But I think Jim is talking about a specific part of it. But the book delves in the concept of metaprogramming, which is like who is programming the programmers.
I asked you to bring you down like I'm 10.
Like you're 10? You didn't go all the way down to 5?
Yeah, I got a 10-year upgrade.
So do you think there has to be an intent behind that kind of programming and the domestication that could come from it, or do you think it could just happen spontaneously or naturally?
I think, South Korea LN was like, I think we're selecting for what is the most survivable traits in people. Like what we...
Yeah, that's realistically makes sense.
But there's still an intent to survive that humans have.
But we're like in the process, like while we're hunter gatherers, we're among each other. We see in certain individuals doing better, say hunting or gathering or whatever endeavor, who are more cooperative, who are more social, who are more empathetic, and we have sex with them. that's basically the way I imagine it happens. Like without there being a programmer, programming us to do it, we are ourselves like, that's like free will stuff. Like by our own free will, we are like programming ourselves to to want these things, I guess.
Whether we realize it or not.
Yeah, whether it's conscious or not.
Yeah. So I believe, like, computers can and probably are domesticating us in some way. And actually, the evidence to that would be physiological changes. And I know that for a fact that there's many physiological changes that people have gone through.
Glasses are a great example.
Not just glasses, the pencil neck.
Oh, yes.
All of the posture problems from people sitting down, carpal tunnel.
Yes.
Square eyes. Yeah.
But those aren't, some of those are, you could argue, those are all, those aren't genetic. Those changes aren't genetic. Those are just the product of.
But in the next generation, they'll be genetic.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I don't think that's the way genes work.
You should meet my nephew. He's like completely.
Like if I have like ball, if I
should just see like running around.
If I have cancer,
carrying his iPad,
it doesn't like. And say that
like on something.
The cancer is not genetically caused. It's because I like hung out at a.
I think posture is not. That though, like that's the bones.
I don't think it's heritable like that. I don't. I think these are just physiological changes that happen as a result of the environment, and then.
No, I think
that would be an epigenetic argument.
I think generation B
that the way we're living affects our offspring.
I think generation B will be, will have computers in them. If that makes any sense.
Computers in them.
Yeah. Human computer interface stuff.
Yeah.
I definitely think so.
Yeah. I mean, and then the computers be fucking, and then we have computer humans.
Wow. So yeah, where are they going to domesticate?
It's a rated G show.
My bad, but everybody knows what I mean.
General audience.
It's not that bad.
Cool. Let's jump into number.
This is number one. Now.
Number one, top story of the week.
Yes, this is me.
Can you believe it? It's. No, it's not
this one. I actually wrote.
Took my first Waymo today. It was awesome, and they're far from perfect. This is Goob. March 5th, AI territory, 23 comments, 1,793 sats. This is a form of you getting used to the AI overlords.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Pretty much. I thought I was being really cool, and I was like, I drove in a Waymo, but a bunch of people in the comments are like, I've driven in a Waymo.
Are you holding stock in this company or something?
No, I don't.
Disclose your holdings?
I don't have stock.
Okay, just making sure.
In anything.
Just wasn't sure if you're on that level yet.
You said that other people had already done it?
Yeah, they've done it. Apparently, they've rolled out in LA already, in San Francisco, LA? The Bay Area.
Where were you driving through?
This is me. It's me making a joke.
Oh,
these are like uncontacted Amazonian people, and I'm saying I'm like a future person in a self-driving car, and this is what people who are looking at me in the car.
Did you do this?
Yes, I did that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How long did that take you?
I don't know. A few minutes. I took. Design classes. I can do Photoshop.
Is that EK or
does EK look like Laura Croft?
Oh, that's okay. I was like, who is that right there?
So this is where it dropped me off. So I go to the post and I describe the process of me joining and then the process of me driving with it. But this is like my conclusion is that it's kind of sucks because it dropped me off here.
The wrong
and anyone
space.
Who's been in a car over here knows that you can't. There's no this. It's a weird section of sidewalk where it's not a sidewalk, and there's like a wall with an enclosed area where people mostly smoke and homeless people hang out asking for money, and so I couldn't get out. But it didn't know that because it was not a human being that could see.
So how did you get out?
I did get out. I shouldn't get out there. Was maybe what I should say.
Okay.
It left me like a sliver. I had to like hit the door against the wall and get out. But then I'm like in the middle of the street, like Laura Croft is here, and I'm like trying not to get
hop
hit by
over.
A car.
Yeah, she's pretty tall there. So it sounds like you're gonna go back.
Oh, I definitely take them again. It's a lot of fun. What's cool is like it actually like parked at the curb. And then I didn't have to, I realized as I was rushing out to the car like I normally do, that I didn't have to rush because there's no one waiting. It's just the car. And it sits there locked until you hit a button on your, in the phone. And then it like the handle comes out and it's unlocked and you can get in. You can control the music. It has like a touch screen.
Is there like a, like what seat do you pick? Does it
You get to pick any seat. You could sit in the front. I think you could even sit in the driver's seat. You're not supposed to touch the steering wheel, but you could probably sit in the driver's seat if you want.
What's the like price comparison to
it's
like an Uber?
Equal. It didn't cost any more money. Really? I selected UberX, and it's like, bro,
that's right. That was the whole presentation. It's like, it's through Uber.
Yeah.
What kind of car is it?
It's a Porsche.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So what seat did you pick?
I picked the right rear seat.
Can you pick the driver's seat
in a car?
Can you pick the driver's seat?
That's what we just talked about, but I think so. I think you could if you really wanted to.
I think I'd pick the driver's seat.
I imagine you would.
Just because you never know.
Never know.
If it crashes,
you're much safer.
What a cool, like, you know, like for the next final destination.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm trapped in a Waymo. We're speeding down the highway.
Oh, that sounds like a Black Mirror episode.
Probably, yeah.
This sucks. So, you see the scenario right here where there's, like, a train right here, and then there's a car right here. What if there's some guy just going hauling ass down this thing here? Would it know to move backwards or to
hauling ass?
Like, say you see the street right here, this side street.
Yeah,
you see the side street here. Like,
oh, that's behind Whole Foods.
But let's just say hypothetically, it was hauling ass. It was going to hit you. Would it know to move out of the way?
It might. I think there have been cases of at least Teslas that have self-driving that have evaded.
So that would be cool.
Yeah, because when I see those things, I just want to hit them.
I know, right? That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, maybe the evading would be.
I want to vandalize them.
I wonder
somehow.
If we will have, you know, like a lot of these sci-fi movies have like some underground punk scene where they are like anti-technology.
Where are the punks?
Wait, yeah.
That's what me and Topher were talking about. We wanted to make an open source car.
Yeah. Oh, well, that would be. Have you followed
you need capital,
George
though.
Hotz at all?
Common AI.
Yeah. Yeah, he's doing it open source.
You're talking about the guy from TabConf, that guy? Electricity?
I don't know when he went to TabConf. I wish.
Who am I talking about? What's that guy's name? Do you remember him, Keon? He's at Tab every year talking about his electricity thing.
Oh,
gosh, what's his name?
Shoot.
And he's always looking for Super, but he never finds him. He's like, Corey, what's up? Have you seen Super? And I'm like, no, I haven't seen him.
Forget his name. Exactly.
I forget his name. Anyways, but, he's that guy.
I think it's Lightning Charge, I think is what.
Yeah, I think so.
Something like that is the name of what he's doing.
Anyways, get that guy on this.
But yeah, if I was going to vandalize a Waymo, like, how do you think I would do it?
How do I think you would do it?
One piece at a time.
Like spray over the like sensors or something, like spray paint.
Why do you even think about that?
Right over the sensor.
Like nail polish over that stuff. Yeah. Oh, wow. It probably has like a phone at home ET thing.
Yeah. I mean, imagine. I think if the sensors are down, it probably just stops. But yeah,
I think my thing is like somebody hacking it and crashing it with me in it. That would be more my paranoia.
Pretty much can happen in any modern car, though.
Not really.
Okay.
Not
hacking it isn't really punk, though. Like it's got to be like gorilla.
Like effort. Paul Walker.
Yeah. What about Paul Walker? He drove cars.
There's a theory out there
died.
That he died by what you're describing.
Oh, he was. I think he was messing around in his sports car.
They said that about NH too. You remember that?
Who?
Jim. NH.
Have you ever seen ChatGPT? They do like comedy. They basically
do
Schrager does, but they do
like
a Bill and Ted routine.
Oh, I haven't seen him.
Oh, wow. he should have some statue.
Yeah.
Cool.
Jim was describing people that do a man on the street type show where they ask people, or they claim to want a Paul Walker statue.
The other thing, too, I think it would be cooler if there was like a fake person in there. You ever see the Total Recall where it's just like a... Just yeah. like a head. It's just like, hey, how's
I
it going?
I would appreciate UX. That. Let's put puppets in there. Like, let's make it fun.
Let's put a Muppet.
Muppet would be cool. A
Muppet would be cool. Anyways.
You want to domesticate the car.
Yeah.
I want it to reflect humanity in some way, but it can't.
Yeah.
I think it's rad. Have you guys done it?
No. Yeah.
Oh,
you have?
Yeah. I have my own.
Oh, that's right. Car. Yeah. Topher has his own. Self-driver.
Cool.
I wonder which is better. We should like race them or something.
Oh, Tesla's way better.
Probably. But they're both electric, right?
Yeah.
Is Tesla just that much better at, like,
the claim is that Tesla is better than Waymo, way better. Oh, and I would like to see that competition, I think.
Yeah, I wonder at self-driving if the Tesla's better. I think it has more miles.
I'm surprised this was number one story this week.
Okay. Then it probably is better.
I'm surprised people but actually want to talk about this.
Surprised they want to talk about it?
Yeah.
People like this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I know. I was just like shocked that it was number one story.
Oh. Yeah, me too.
Anyways. Cool stuff.
Things that I don't normally write. And it's nice to see how childish my writing is.
We're going
to
jump
into... Yeah, like saying words like huzzah.
We're going to jump into some meta. Baby. So that's all your top five stories this week, Stackers. Now we're going to jump into our stuff. We had some meta this week. EK, you were squashing bugs out there?
Oh, yeah. So EK squashing bugs, I think. I don't know what you're talking about. As usual.
Starship Trooper squashing bugs.
The main thing in this change is that your Lightning address is basically non-functional unless you attach a receiving wallet. I just noticed myself wanting to send Stackers sats, and I had no idea if they attached a receiving wallet yet or not, and I'd rather it just air.
So what happens? Does it get turned to sats or no? Or does it get turned to cowboy credits or no?
No, that's the thing. Is like you don't get anything unless you have attached a wallet. Mm. And this is kind of what a lot of people...
So then how do you refill it then?
Refill.
How do you add more cowboy credits then?
What, you buy them. You go through.
So wouldn't that be the same thing though?
No, there's like a. If you go to the credits, if you go click on your name, click on credits, you can buy.
I'm not logged in.
Oh, if you were, you could. There's a button to buy them. You also get them zapped if you're.
So if somebody sends car@stacker.news 1,000 sats right now, nothing happens.
No, you have a receiving wallet attached and not a sending wallet, as you've stated.
Oh, okay.
But
if you don't have a receiving wallet,
then it errs.
It says an error.
Yeah.
Interesting. This is a good important update to get out there to the masses.
I don't know if it's good and important, but it is an update that I wanted. So,
yeah, if no one knows, you might want to get this changed. Looks like Siggy says, I think you mentioned a while back that you had problems with failed payments for Zeus. Is this still an issue? I'm thinking of trying out Bolt 12 address.
Yeah, I described why Zeus's Lightning address is maybe suboptimal for our use case.
Why?
Because they use ZapLocker, which is this thing that the Super developed a while ago. It's basically a means of locking up liquidity, locking up Bitcoin as it's en route to an offline peer. And so for Zeus, it's bad, or for Stacker News, it's bad to use these for zaps specifically because it'll cause a zap to fail if the person doesn't open their phone. Also, we do not allow a zap to affect ranking until the payment has been settled. And so it could be, you know, up to 24 hours before that the ranking change comes in, and ranking is time-weighted.
Pratic says, does this mean that Stacker News acts as a proxy? Question mark.
It's always acted as a proxy. Okay. I mean, ever since we've switched to non-custodial, your Lightning address basically protects the identity of your node on Stacker News unless you disable that. But by default, we operate like lnproxy.org and proxy all payments to your Lightning node so that people do not know your node's identity.
Cool. So yep. That's all the meta this week. We got the next story that you want to share was this one, long boring middle iteration. This is from Jason B.
I think we skipped over Siggy's mining post at some point in there. Siggy had a mining post about their Canaan miner. I'd like to go over that because that was actually a top five post. I think that was.
So you don't want to go over this one then?
Well, this would be one of my selection, but I'd like to cover the top five that we missed.
All right, let's just cover this one real quick so we can get it out.
Okay,
of the way.
Sure. this is Jason B. is trying to heat their home with Bitcoin miners. And so this is continuation. Wow. I think they wrote another post about doing this, but they had S9s.
Oh, wow.
I think their friend gifted them some other miners, and they had, they've had a variety of setups. Their friend who's an electrician is helping them set up to heat their home.
Oh, that's cool. Jenna, what do you think about this?
Jason B is a pleb dev.
Oh, wow.
And that's very pleb.
Yeah, pleb dev, pleb
miner. Is
that
metal or is that foil? Looks like foil, right?
I think that's HVAC tape.
Oh, okay. What is this for? I guess it's the pipe. Or the hole of the pipe.
I would love like a spinoff show of just showing car photos of things and asking him to identify it.
That'd be pretty awesome.
And like add a betting aspect to it. That'd be really fun. Wow.
Yeah, what does Carr think this is?
What do I think that is right there? I could tell you that does not look friendly. I don't know what that is we're looking at.
It's a horse.
Oh. That looked like something else. Nasty. All right, cool.
What could you possibly think it looks like? Then there's like another betting round.
This is the content that we could be capitalizing on.
America's Butterfly, is this one it?
You're saying.
Is it America's Butterfly?
You think that's about mining?
No, it's about mining.
Oh. Just, he has so many posts.
It's in the top five this week. Well, that's why
it was in the week. Like, how many does he do a week?
Yeah, we're still live. Just
my impressions of Canalian Miner.
We're live.
There we go. Here, this one.
This one.
He has the same one that Nick Tia has over there.
I think it's a slightly different model.
Pretty sure.
I think Siggy has either a later generation.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
So I think Nick has a 2S or something. Siggy describes the process of setting up their home miner that they bought from Canon, which is becoming a popular provider.
Canon should send us one of these. We do so much talking about this.
More powerful home miners. He says he hooked it up with Ocean.
Membrane.
And he said he's not going to get a payout for 8 years. Given that he's using on-chain Bitcoin, so
maybe eCash will fix that.
They support Bolt 12. Ocean is one of few pools that support paying out to Bolt 12, so he won't have to wait, and he could get just a few hundred cents if he wants to. So
time to spin up a Phoenix server.
Siggy has, I think, been in the process of setting up Core Lightning so he can get paid non-custodially.
Dude, he's doing it
to his home node via Bolt 12.
That's so amazing. Awesome.
That's how you do it.
Yeah. I mean, I love these mining posts because I feel like Bitcoin miners are like more real Bitcoiners.
I feel like that would be such a great retail store. That's how I feel. Is like a mining store. Like if somebody made like a retail mining store, I feel like that'd be such a profitable endeavor.
Oh, I'd do it terribly. Because like all, I believe, I don't think so. I don't think
it, I think so, dude, because
it's not a consumer product.
Well, really? No, I mean, like, if you had, like, a store, like, it was just called the mining store, and then you sell stuff like this, and then you do all sorts of, like, diagnostic and all sorts of repairs and stuff, I could see it being very profitable. And then you sell, you know, the cool cards and all the other small things.
Oh.
But I would go to that place to go learn about.
Well, that wouldn't be a mining store. That would be a Bitcoin store. They actually have a great one, and I did a post about it. There's one in El Salvador.
I feel like mining's one of those segments of the ecosystem where it's just... It's turtles all the way down. Like you really gotta learn a lot. It's turtles. Totally different. It's totally different than like the developer ecosystem. It feels like a totally different beast to tackle. You're kind of like one of those weird guys that actually looks into the mining stuff a little bit more than usual. Because you like looking into that stuff, but most people don't.
It's actually really simple. I mean, that's why you have, you know, but Siggy.
I don't think so.
Siggy, declares himself not very technical, although I'd say he's pretty technical.
He's smarter than the average.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. But, you know, it's really easy to set up a miner.
I don't know. You talk to some of these guys here at Unchained, and they don't even know how to use a Lightning address. So it's a little bit different, I think, from like, I think. Yeah.
I don't sign off on what Carr is saying right now. But okay. The sentiment,
I don't think he does.
I think it'd be cool.
Because I think a lot of people have like set up mining systems before, but like it has gotten more competitive, and so it's hard to focus on.
We have a miner sitting over there that Well, it's a Pleptev. He still hasn't set it up.
Oh, you mean the heater?
No, he has one that's over there. It's on the shelf.
Oh.
It's just sitting there.
I see. Like an old S9 or something?
I think so. It might be newer.
It might be too loud.
Well, you can lower it down, can't you?
But the hat, I mean, 6 terahash is pretty good. I mean, a BitAx gives you about, I think, the Ultra now maybe gives you 2.
This is cool, man. Between this and Stacker News, he's making off like a bandit.
He said he's making 300 sats a day.
On Stacker News?
No. On.
Oh, he's probably making more on Stacker News. And then you add this. This is pretty good.
He does run several territories.
Pretty good. So. Yeah, pretty good stuff. Keep doing it. Siggy, you're doing an awesome job. Keep sharing it. I love this. Okay, let's get back to the other. I think those are all your stories. We're going to jump into my only story this week. It's a reoccurring one because we're following this. I don't know. I don't know what you call it. I guess it would be the Voyager instrument 2, the Voyager 2. Anyways, Voyager 1, I'm sorry. So it's gotten to a point where they have to shut down another piece of the instrument key on. Last time we reported, this was around, I want to say we talked about this in January. I think Ted over there was the one that helped us to explain what this actually did. But they're going to shut down another part of these instruments that they have key on. And let me see if I can find out which one. There's only going to be 3 instruments left. And have you seen this, Ted? What is this? So NASA turns off 2 Voyager science instruments to extend mission. And let me see if I can find it.
I think last I heard there was a small.
There it goes. We'll shut off Voyager 2's low energy charge particle instrument on March 24th. That's 13 days from now. 3 science instruments will continue. Only 3 Keon operate on each spacecraft that moves are part of an ongoing effort to manage the gradually diminishing power supply of the twin probes.
I'm surprised you're excited by this and not the moon landing that just happened.
The failed moon landing.
Well, one of them was successful, right?
Did you post it on Stacker News? I didn't even know it existed.
Firefly?
Yeah, Firefly.
I didn't get a chance to read that.
Yeah.
We can jump into that.
Firefly succeeded at putting a lander on the moon.
This is a Voyager.
It's like a drone lander.
Hang on a second. This is the Voyager. We're talking about the Voyager.
Oh, I'm sorry, Kyle.
So Voyager wanted to rely on the radios. How do you pronounce that word, Ted?
Radioisotope.
Radioisotope power system that generates electricity from the heat RTG. Of decaying plutonium. What the hell does that mean? Ted.
That's exactly what it means. That's plutonium that's decaying, and then the heat that's coming off of it is powering.
But where's the plutonium coming from, though?
It's in the
trunk. It got shipped?
It's a hunk of plutonium in the trunk.
Oh, wow. Both lose about 4 watts of power each year. So the Voyagers have been deep space rock stars since launch and want to keep it that way as long as possible. But electrical power is running low. Ted, is this something that you would do too? Or?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing this thing is still running. What is it, like 50 years old? Mm-hmm. And it's got a couple antennas on there, as you can see. And those antennas are hooked up to some op amps, some amplifiers. And so a charge particle measurement is just, you know, you got a particle, like a ion, that's got a charge on there. It whacks into the antenna, and then that creates a little blip, and then the amplifiers amplify that up. Wow. And the very basic computer, probably analog in there, packages it up in some sort of kind of data packet, and then
shoots it back to us,
to Earth. And one of the bigger issues with this particular spacecraft is that I'm not sure if it's a Starfinder or how it's orienting itself, but they have an issue. It takes power to kind of reorient itself back at Earth. And that thing is running out of power. So it is struggling to reorient itself back at Earth. That's consuming like a large amount of the energy budget. So once that runs out, then it's going to drift. And then we'll lose communication.
See, this is why it's important, Keon.
Unless we find a way to listen to it, which we often do with these things, right? Like a piece fails and then they figure some weird thing out within the constraints.
Did you ever watch the Mars rovers? Did you ever watch that documentary where they even said they're like, we're just going to put some instruments on there, and then we hope that in the future we'll be able to turn these on. It was kind of cool. They were just like, we're making big bets on this technology, and we'll hope we'll be able to use them at some point. I love that long-term thinking when it comes to space, is like how they think through distant, they're like, yeah, all these different problems.
Yeah. I can give a quick space shout out.
Yeah, go for it.
A mission that was failed on the moon, and they've deposited some amount of Bitcoin on the lunar surface.
Wait, what? Where is this at?
So it's a mission that just failed yesterday. What was it called? 2 days ago.
I think it's IMS. I think CJE95 probably posted it about it, because they are on the they're on a space committee on Capitol Hill.
Something intuitive machines. That's what it is. Intuitive machines.
Oh, this one right here. Okay. Lander.
So the lander came in at an angle or something, and my buddy's rover's on there. And
oh, this one right here.
It's kind of funny. His rover has a little mini rover on top of the rover that goes and drives on top of the
dude. There's a Texas flag on there. Look at that.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. But yeah, it tipped over, and then somewhere in there, there's a crypto treasure chest that has Bitcoin and a bunch of shitcoin NFTs. Ugh. So if anyone wants to go get their worthless NFTs or Bitcoin, that's where they go.
That's an awesome idea. I mean, at least the Bitcoin part, because someone can go. It's incentivizing someone to go travel to the moon.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep. And I think it's not the first one, so I think there's a couple other bounties that are up there. So one of these days, someone's got to do a little bit of...
Yeah. How much pirating. Bitcoin do you know?
Well, they said it was 250K at launch. Which was
250K sats.
$250K
the stock,
dollars.
The stock
no
went
way.
Down really? After
yeah,
it didn't land on the moon.
Their NFTs.
So oh, funny. I see. Which yeah, which have no value.
Yeah, and I guess it was probably not that long ago. Maybe
so. Maybe one Bitcoin is on the moon.
I think that was at when they did integration. So that was maybe 6 to 8 months ago, and then the launch was probably what, a week or two ago. I don't know how long it took.
What was this right here? Starship exploded.
Yeah, Starship blew up.
Dude, we were talking to somebody. Me and EK were talking to somebody at dinner the other day. They were saying that whenever they're in Harlingen and something goes in the air from Starship or Starbase, whatever, they can feel their house move.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know.
Yeah, it's like a small nuclear bomb when it lifts off.
Anyways, pretty cool.
It is cool.
Love seeing things explode where no one gets hurt.
Hell yeah.
It's like the best kind of explosion.
Look at that. Thanks, Space Ted.
Thanks, Ted. Cool. That's all the top stories this week. We're going to jump into some top stackers. Let's go to the top stackers here. Right here is Coop.
Yeah.
I guess he took over for, what's his name? R-Sync.
Yes, I've been R-Syncing lately. Undisciplined is number two. Someone gray, in hiding is number three.
Ruby.
Gray Ruby.
Group.
Do you want to get into some
no, just, screen? Just hold on. Just there you good.
Go. Okay.
Good.
All right. Just check it out.
She wants to sneak in. Get her in.
All right. Fine.
I'm
scooch
snuck.
Over.
I'm snuck.
There she goes.
Cars asked me to move. And
all right. So we got Blockchain Boo, Gray Ruby, Artifar.
Leader of the show.
Simple Stacker, Usual Suspects per Use. Let's go into the most boring segment of Bitcoin, the Cowboy segment, which is, I mean, the most popular segment. I'm sorry. Keon, you know where your hat?
Oh, yes. Here we go. Thank you for the reminder. Here we are.
I mean, we're competing against sessions.
This podcast is
just
long.
The sessions.
Yeah. Okay. So look at all these. Cowboys. Wow. Undisciplined 117.
Blockchain
Boog.
Gray Ruby.
Yep. Is this what you came for?
Yeah.
This is why you want to go.
This is what everybody wants.
It's an important segment.
Let's see if.
Satisora, look at that. I don't think they've
Aardvark,
been
he's
that
been,
high for very
he's been,
long.
He's every day, Aardvark goes into the thing and just craps on me every day.
Yeah, why is he doing that?
I don't know. Like,
you don't know why?
He's picking a beef with you.
Like he goes, he's been tagging me. He goes, I'm Carr. Of course they let me into the White House. See?
Oh, that was
recent.
I support that. I support that kind of
see,
stuff.
So okay, support like, the ribbing.
Yeah. Well, just taking
day seven
no, just taking what
Carr
said.
Taking Carr to task.
Everyday anger.
Stripping Carr down.
See?
No, just quoting Carr. All he's doing is quoting Carr.
Oh, okay.
I'm Carr. Of course they let me into the White House. That's what he said.
Oh.
That's a good way to look
okay,
at it.
Okay, I thought I found it as like it's like sharing a receipt for like something you don't want people to know you bought.
He said
I think
it
they actually
live.
Actually will double down on that. I think they will let me into the White House. I'm going to take it. Dude, when I get to the White House, I'm taking a picture. I'm going to be like, in your face, Coob.
I would love to see it.
Okay. Well, that day
will come.
Will be interesting.
I'll be doing Stacker News live from the White House.
Whoa.
Whoa. How about that?
Does that mean I'm the president? And you are.
No, that means I'll just like be in the corner and you'll be like, are you ready to do the show? I'll be like, yes, I'm ready to do the show. Do it now so we get started.
Oh, I see. We're doing a remote
one. And I win this bet. All right. Anyways.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, it keeps going. Lots
yo.
Of.
Yo.
Put, put.
Surprise, oh, David W. kept those.
Look at all these posts.
Wow.
Are these your receipts?
Some miscellaneous ones.
I just crafts? Haven't. No, I don't have anything. Well, I have to make a confession, but I won't do it right now. I'll do it in a post.
Wait, interviews or something? Or
what?
Oh, yeah, you got Scoresby, EK, Coob. Yeah, you need to interview more people.
I'll interview you, Carr.
Uh-oh.
You want to?
If you want to.
Okay.
We got podcast episodes. Boom. There we go. Book reviews. For Whom the Bell Tolls. Yeah, I got all this stuff here. Top Stackers, Ben Worman. Where's he been?
Oh, well, he asked questions in the AMAs as the cool. AMA territory founder. We just had Dr. Ken Berry on, who wrote The Proper Dr. Human
Ken Berry.
Human Diet. Oh, it's like a carnivore, at least carnivore adjacent, but I'm pretty sure.
Peter Todd's in here. He's Peter in the top 50.
Wow, top 50.
David W. Man, this is pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Roy, even Roy's here. Webster, Justin Shocknet. Cool.
Look at them all.
Yeah.
Did you open your mouth to say something? Or was
I did, but okay. But then I didn't say it.
All right.
Yeah, it's because you're blocking her face right there.
I'm not intentionally doing that. I think she's hiding behind it.
There you go. There you go. There you go.
There it is.
Oh, no.
EK's in town. EK, how do you like your visit here? Just clapped.
EK hides his face on camera.
I took him to sushi the other day. He said that I changed his mind about sushi.
Did he not like it before?
He did. He was on.
Hey, I can recommend coming to Pub Lab. And Carr is not paying me to say this.
There you go. You heard it here first. I paid him in sushi to say that, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a...
Yeah, it was a good time. I've been hanging out with EK this week. It's been a good time.
Nice. Where'd you guys go to sushi? Where's good sushi, Carr? You said you
just
told
down
me
the street.
You're like
Sushi Juna.
Sushi
Juna. 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 Me and Tony have been there before. Went there.
Do they have like the boats?
Oh, do they?
The boats?
Dude. Yeah, like where there's like a river.
Oh, it comes by and you pick it up?
Oh, no, not one of those. You're talking about a sushi boat.
I thought they were like robotic.
Yeah. They have one up north, though, on Lamar.
Okay.
Yeah. But you win with plates. Like, the more plates you stack, the more you, like, turn your monster into, like, a Japanese robot Gundam style or something. I don't know.
A river flows in you.
There you go.
In all of us.
I think that's all I got. Keon, Plepo, what are y'all doing this weekend?
I am going to... probably ride my bike. I got a new bike.
A motorcycle?
No. Because I'm not a person who rides a motorcycle.
Thought we were going to start a gang.
It's a normal human-powered bike with pedals. Okay. Pedal bike. Yeah. It's used. It's really cool. It's from the 80s.
Of course it is.
My wife picked it out.
Of course it is.
It's blue.
That's cool. Awesome.
Of course it is. Yeah, I think it's pretty awesome.
Where are you going to ride it?
I'm going to ride it to work in the mornings when I don't want to take the time to walk.
Yeah, or Waymo.
Or Waymo is unavailable.
Nice.
That's cool.
Are you going to have like an area to put your book bag, or are you just going to put it behind your back?
I can put it on my back. It also, if I have a rack, my backpack can, I made a guy make it.
Yeah, like, remember, so I can attach it. This is the expensive backpack. The one you got like 3 years ago, right?
No.
No.
I never got this backpack in your presence. I've had this backpack for like 7 years.
Yeah, we talked about this on the show.
Oh, I don't remember it. But yeah, I got it on Etsy.
Yeah, I remember this story.
From like a French guy. And he like made it. He like custom made it for me.
For specifically the bike, right? I remember this.
Yes, for specifically the bike. So like, because in rain, it's wax canvas. And so he made it like double thick.
I think it was episode 10 or something. Talked about this.
It's amazing you remember that, because you won't remember stuff that we talked about. Like,
I remember your really interesting, odd things that you say. This was an odd thing where I was like, that's weird, but it sounds like Keon.
No, but I mean, I've had that backpack for a long time. Probably lasts my entire life. I love buying stuff like that.
Totally. Flat Poet, what are you doing this weekend?
I'm going to go watch Halsey.
Oh, are you really?
What is that?
Oh, so check this
out. Well, Halsey's playing down the street from where I live, so I might pull up tonight.
She might pull up. Yeah, let me see if
I can find Halsey an artist?
Where is it at?
Yeah.
What kind of music
does she did...
let's just play this one.
I do my artist project.
Most famous song.
That's her right there. She has blue hair.
I don't think that's her most famous song. Is that That's an old one, though, right?
Yeah. That's going to be
what
you.
What was she singing in, like, 2016? Are you going to be one of these people
just out there?
Is this on 4th Street?
Are you going to be holding a phone like this, or are you going to be like this girl right here, where she's like, don't look at me?
Yeah, I'm going to be like that girl. I'm going to be able to point out every camera that's on me at all times and just stare them
I always love the person that does that, where they're like, everybody's like looking the other way, and there's just one person that's just
I don't understand people who hold their phones up like that at concerts.
Me either.
What do you mean?
What are you recording?
Yeah, who are you going to send it?
It's not going to look good. It's on a stage.
That looks like my cousin over here.
And then you're also like destroying your experience. Like my cousin right there. It's like you're a weird...
You're also destroying your experience and other people's...
It's a weird like...
Anyways,
mimetic behavior.
She'll be. She'll be.
Wait a second. That page you were just on.
Yeah, is that her?
Go down. What is this list right here? Because
these are all the people that are playing.
Okay, because I see Freak Slug, and I actually might for real go check them out because I like a couple of their songs. That's cool.
Man, woman, chainsaw.
Yeah, but this one's the Sips and Sounds Festival.
That's what you're going to?
Sponsored by Coca-Cola.
See, Auditorium Shores, that's like...
Oh, that's loud. Sorry, Stackers. Yeah, that's her right
there.
So,
yeah.
Apparently she has blonde hair now. That's DJ Khaled.
That isn't.
It's not DJ. Wait, is Gus Dapperton coming up? Because you can see him. No, he didn't.
Oh, 49 Buckaroos. There you go. Dude, we're getting all the big names. Anyways.
Yeah, but I'm lying. I'm not really going to go see this. But it is, I'm going to hear it just because I mean,
you could see it. It's definitely a possibility.
Why not go see it?
I mean, I don't have a ticket, but, you know, I guess I could sneak in.
Well, EK asked a question last week about getting into concerts that you don't have a ticket to. A bunch of people describe how you might do that.
Oh.
You just get a trash bag and say, hey, I'm here to pick up trash. And then.
Okay.
Well, that's one option. I don't, you know,
I feel like that would work too.
Probably wouldn't have won EK's bounty, but
let's jump into comments from last week's episode. User 401 said, "Don't go chasing waterfalls." I don't know what that means.
Don't go chasing waterfalls.
Did you hear it there first? Blockchain Book says, "I am number one."
Used to.
And then some guy says, that was last week. So we only got two zaps.
Okay, I wonder what the waterfalls part is about.
I don't remember.
Did we talk about who's the brand that does that again?
Yeah, I don't think we talked about
TLC.
I don't think we talked
about the brand. Did you say?
I said band.
Okay, I thought you said brand.
I would not say brand.
Okay.
How dare you?
I'm sorry.
But that was the song that I wanted to sing
at your wedding?
Karaoke.
At your wedding.
That's supposed to be my karaoke
song. Oh, that's I would love. Yeah. Let's do that this weekend.
That's supposed to be like, you know, like a show up and do karaoke. And I'm like, all right, fine, I'll do it.
Yeah.
But I've been practicing for years.
Yes.
Don't go chasing waterfalls. And then I just like blow people away.
Yeah. I would love to be in the audience when that happens.
Okay. Well, it's not going to happen because I haven't done years of practice yet.
Okay.
Hey, we are going to party next week, so it's possible that you could be doing karaoke there. Just saying.
I don't know. I don't know if I have my childhood singing voice anymore. It's probably gone.
Was that the singing voice you used in the pageants?
I don't think I sang in my pageants. I think I just literally showed up on a metaphorical platter.
Could you do Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses?
I think that's
I think Jim's wearing a Guns N' Roses shirt today, actually.
Oh, there you go.
Look at us. We're all
ready. Chinese democracy. You wearing that shirt?
What?
That's an album that was Axl Rose was trying to make for like 30 years. And then I think he actually made it. Did it pan out though? Anyways,
I don't know music things.
Have a great weekend, Stackers. Go out and.
What are you doing this weekend?
Oh.
Yeah, why don't we talk about that?
I think we're going to go head over to Capital Factory tonight, and we're going to go there tomorrow, too. And then Austin's cool throwing a party. Austin's going to be doing like a, not Austin that. The city, but Austin.
It's like a Casey teleport thing, right?
He's doing like this thing, so probably check that out. And then go buy some beers for next week. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Wow.
Will you get Pacifico?
I'll get Pacifico. That's what you want.
Yeah. Sweet.
Make it happen. Stackers, we'll see you next week with a live show and a special guest. I won't know who that is because I'll ask them right before we go on if they want to be a special guest.
Wow.
But this guy will be here. She'll be here.
I might be.
He'll be here. He'll be here. And there'll be a ton of big audience and maybe we'll have two cameras. Guest. We'll see. All right.
Zap.